Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Continues his chase for 895 and Wayne Gretzky right here on the Team 980 against the Boston Bruins at TD Garden. Caps looking to snap a three-game losing streak. Coming up tonight and every night on WUSA 9, you can see and hear from my guy, Mr. Chick, Chick Hernandez, WUSA 9 in the house, down at the owners' meetings in Palm Beach. Mr. Chick, thank you for making time. How are you, pal?
I am spectacular. I'm about to get on a plane to head back home since the meetings have just concluded.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you making some time for us and giving us your expertise. By the way, you can follow Mr. Chick on Twitter, at Mr. Chick Sports. Very simple, at Mr. Chick Sports. And if you don't know the whole thing behind Mr. Chick, that's an Alfred Morris thing. We've explained that before, but it's still amusing to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm a petulant little chap.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Exactly.
I've been called for far worse. I've been called for worse.
There you go. All right. Before we get to the Commanders, Dan Quinn and Brandon Coleman and everything, you are a Maryland Terrapin. You are a Terp, true and true. I know you were
correct.
I don't want to say too much, but I know there was some frustration on your end as a Terp with Kevin Willard when I ran into you last week at Nationals Park.
Yeah.
But now Buzz Williams is your new head coach. First, let's get to Buzz Williams. Do you love it, like it, or kind of non-moved by it?
I think it's a best-case scenario when you're talking about a guy who's got a pedigree, a resume, so I will take that. That's the bottom line, is he has done some wonderful things in his career, so I'll take that. I think my heart was like, okay, what about a local guy? But you're talking pedigree, Buzz Williams. I mean, you got 11 tourney appearances, a guy who coached in the area in Virginia Tech a few years back. And look, he's won everywhere he's gone. And if you look at it, he's won at least 100 games at Marquette, at least 100 games at Virginia Tech, at least 100 games at Texas A&M. And if he gets 100, which would be great, at Maryland, he's just the third coach ever to do that at four different institutions at the D1 level. Steve Alford and a guy named, let me get this right, Lefty Gazelle. Mm. So there's a lot of pedigree there, and we need a motivational guy who's got a heart, not a gutless, spineless. That's enough for Willard.
I love it. Mr. Chick almost went down that road.
Yep, almost.
Before we get more on that, I agree with everything you just said. We've been talking about it for, an hour and a half or whatever.
Sure.
I think, for a program, I mean, we don't know what the deal is going to be with the AD position, whether it's going to be the current interim person just getting a promotion or whatever.
Right.
But for a program that seemingly right now lacks stability in almost every way, stable is not necessarily bad, right?
It's not bad here, and it's, again, a proven winner and a motivational guy, and really the... I'm going to compare him to Tiger Woods, but it's not really appropriate. But Tiger Woods 2.0 version, a much nicer person. Buzz Williams 2.0, he's just more in tune with his players, and it's not just, grind him into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
He's a faithful guy, and he's a leader of young men, which has not been the case the last 3 years at that institution called the University of Maryland. So no, he's very stable. I mean, he's proven it. It's not like there's a question mark whether or not Buzz Williams can coach. He's
absolutely
proven it. Now he'll bring some guys from A&M, hopefully, because I think they have four on the roster now at Maryland after guys are taken off. So, but that's the nature of this beast now. I mean, I'll give Kevin Willard this bit of credit. He put that team together that went to the Sweet 16 in 2 to 3 weeks last year. So,
yep.
That's what Buzz Williams is going to have to do. and coach his butt off.
Well, and the other and the other thing too, Mr. Chick, is you know, Buzz. And this was going to be the case anyway. Like, for everybody that's talking about Maryland now being so far behind in the transfer portal, yes, but Buzz is more than familiar with the transfer portal because he's been trying to replace eight seniors at A&M. So now it's right. Basically, okay, now your priority shifts. Okay, come with me to College Park. And one other thing, and I brought this up earlier. I don't know if you agree or disagree. You know, it seemed like part of the problem with Willard was he didn't want to live in the shadow of the football program and the revenue share and blah, 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 blah. Well, Buzz Williams comes from a football factory at A&M where they care about football, 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 and then they might care about basketball after that.
Yeah. No, he has shared the wealth with football at Texas A&M. He's done the same thing at Virginia Tech. So he's used to that. He's not a basketball snob like Willard, the gutless, spineless, there I go again, guy. So
keep going, Mr. Chip. Keep going. I need some headlines.
Well, look, I don't think you don't need any headlines. Willard was, he's flat out lied to everybody. He flat out lied to everybody, even his own team. Who they found out via Zoom that he wasn't going to be the coach. I mean, how weak can you be? How weak can you be as you're supposed to be the leader of young men? Because I would never advise anybody that was under me to act that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the example he just set for all those guys.
I totally agree.
Absolute BS.
And after opening up his can and throwing everybody under an 18-wheeler, he turned around and had the nerve to blame the media.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. I told you the story. He went on this diatribe about, I can't even keep my team in New York for an extra day at Christmas. We don't have the money. And the next night he wins a game, and I've joined the press conference via Zoom, and I ask a question, and his response is, Chick, I don't think I should answer that question because you're not here. Because you know why, Coach? We couldn't afford to be in Seattle for that long. We'd done a lot of stuff through the year with the Commanders and Ovi and everything else. We didn't have the money to do it, so I couldn't be there. But guess what? I'm via Zoom. I'm asking you a pertinent question, and you decided to take a dump on me. Well, have fun with yourself, sir. Have fun with yourself.
The great Chick Hernandez with us at Mr. Chick Sports. Make sure you watch him nightly on WUSA9, WUSA9.com, at the owners' meetings in Palm Beach. About to head back to the DMV. All right, I guess I'll let that rest. Certainly, I wanted to get your thoughts.
That.
Good timing, obviously, after Buzz became official, press conference tomorrow at noon in College Park. Now, today, Dan Quinn announced Brandon Coleman going to right tackle. There was a lot of speculation whether he would move to right tackle or perhaps left guard. Do you like the situation? Would you have felt better if he went inside the guard? How do you kind of process that?
I don't concern myself with it too much, Rooster. I like the fact that he's got options, that Dan Quinn has options now. That's what I like, is the fact that they can start to move some people. And Brandon can handle it, you know, and Wally in there, all of it. They can all handle it. So I like the fact that they can now move some people around and they're getting bodies in there. Look, I'm sitting here at the league meetings, and just like the combine, when Dan Quinn or Adam Peters walked in and heads turned, the same thing's happening here, and everybody realizes that this was the busiest team after losing in the NFC title game. This is the busiest team in the offseason, and it wasn't like they were adding Joe Schmo. You know, it's Deebo Samuel, for heaven's sakes, who can be a tremendous weapon. And I talked to D'Amico Ryan, who lost Laramie Tunsil, and said, well, they're getting a guy who pass rushes or, you know, pass protects with the best, and that blind side for Jaden Daniels is solidified.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't gonna worry about that side. So they're doing things. So I'm on board with guys mixing and matching because they've proven, Rooster, throughout this entire year that the coaches have done their due diligence with every single player on that roster and have a comfort in that Brandon can take that move.
Mr. Chick Hernandez with us, WUSA9 in Palm Beach at the NFL owners meetings. Of course, we just talked Maryland, now talking Commanders and NFL. What was Year two now, obviously. They won 14 games, 12 regular season, two playoff games. Did you notice anything different over the last 2 days about Adam Peters yesterday, Dan Quinn today? Or are they pretty much the same? I don't sense that they've got like this overinflated ego of what they accomplished. They know they accomplished something good, but there's a lot of work to be done.
No, there's no question that there's not an ounce of bravado in either one of those guys. What I did notice is that Adam Peters, who self-admittedly says, I'm not very comfortable answering questions, being in front of the media. I mean, in our sessions with him yesterday, quite comfortable. You know, they, we had a on-the-record chat with him, and then we had an off-the-record chat with the head coach, and Mark Klaus, the team president, where we just hung out and talked about everything almost besides football. Just very relaxed, and it was really cool. You know, these guys get to know us a little bit more, and you know what was interesting is I was telling Adam Peters the crap that we've been through the decades of darkness and certain stories that we shared, and he's like, man, you guys really went through it. And I looked at him and said, now you know why we're so happy.
Because we're treated
like adults.
Yeah.
With respect, and that's a huge thing. But no bravado, and I think they've been so on plan since day one, and even Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins coach, said when you have a coach and a GM, I'll call it the same page, but when there is a simpatico thing going on there, it is hard not to succeed, is what Mike McDaniel said, and they certainly proved that. He goes, I didn't think it would happen so quickly, but it's happened, and it's not like it's going to change. So that's, yes, no bravado, but they're sticking to their plan. And I like the way they're working.
Mr. Chick, you know there were indeed some dark days. You know there was indeed plenty
dark
of those.
Days? Are you kidding me?
There were dark months, dark years.
There was dark decades,
dark
man.
Decades.
It was like, what are we walking into now? It was insane.
No doubt. what is your best sense of how they view their number one task moving forward now, i.e. the draft? Have any sense at all? Is it pass rush? Defensive ends more? I know they like the defensive end, and they're going to use these guys differently. I think Kinlaw is going to play inside, outside. But what is your sense? Or do you think they're looking at maybe a home run hitter at running back? Any idea?
I don't have an idea other than, you know, Adam Peters is really good at keeping stuff close to the vest. He told me yesterday, we did a one-on-one, which I think airs today.
Okay.
And we talked about the draft and how it's so different from last year. You knew who you were picking. I kind of kidded him. I was like, you knew who you were picking, yet you tried to not trick us, but, you know, they knew early on, way early, that it was going to be Jaden Daniels. But now with the 29th pick, he's like, it just remains to be seen. You can trade up, trade down. He doesn't know. He's just been very wise about it. So I've not got a sense of that. Although, you know, I think throughout, DQ has said, we need a pass rush. We need a stout front. He's been saying that since the end of last year, the end of last season, put it that way. So I think that's a point of emphasis for them, is to find a stud, whether it's through the draft, most likely, that they can curate for years to come. So I think if they would have that opportunity, they would do that.
Make sure you watch Chick Hernandez's coverage of the NFL League meetings on WUSA9, WUSA9.com, and at Mr. Chick Sports on Twitter. One more, and then we'll spring you loose. Appreciate you making some time for us. Bunch of rules changed. Some got tabled. The push, whatever. The digital technology on the first down marker, I love that. I don't love that they didn't go all the way with the replay assist. It's only going to be flags that get rescinded. What did you love? What did you not love, if there's anything, out of the kind of rule change division?
I loved overtime. Both teams get a possession. I love that. It's equitable now, but it's still a 10-minute period. So a team could have a 9-minute drive and crush that other squad. It's possible.
Right.
But I like the fact that, you know, if you score right out of the gate a touchdown, it's not over. So I like that. And I, you know, I talked to Sean Payton, Denver's coach. He liked it a lot. Quite humorous, was Jim Harbaugh. I had to explain to him what the amendment was, because I asked him about, what do you think about the overtime change, And he looked at me and he says, well, you know, and he kind of heads. And then he said, well, what do you mean? I was like, well, the fact that both teams can get a possession. And he goes, well, you know what? I like sudden death. And then his eyes got big. He goes, I really like sudden death. So he's not a big fan of it. So I like that rule. You know, I realized that, you know, they weren't going to get that the rule passed about defensive holding and illegal contact not being an automatic first down because the league loves offense. So I'm okay with that. I think the overtime was my favorite thing. Just push. It's tabled.
Right. Could come back.
But, you know, they're gonna meet again in May.
Yep.
And it could come back. They're looking for more data on the injury situation. And I really think it depends on your quarterback. Jalen Hurts has, you know, he's got a trunk. He's okay. But you know, the smaller quarterbacks, who also do quarterback sneaks, by the way, mm-hmm. get crushed as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's another issue. So that data has not come back yet.
Right.
But it was funny talking with the coaches today. Sean McVay, absolutely adamant to not have it because they can't stop it, is what he said. And he also thought it looked like a rugby play. Raheem Morris was, again, anything I can do against Nick Sirianni, I'm for it. I want it. But Dan Campbell said the way I look at it is they found a way to get around the system. And so why penalize them? He said, I'm a hard yes. Let's keep it. So there's a lot of different visions there.
I mean, it's you got to talk to a lot of guys. Atta boy, Mr. Chick.
Oh, I did.
How about that?
I got all the AFC coaches that are on the schedule for the Commanders next year. I did try to get Mike McDaniel to come forth with where is the international game going to be, because I really think, and I'm sure you probably agree, we got to believe it's going to be the Commanders and the Dolphins in an international game, because the NFL has to.
Is that the one in Mexico, or I can't remember. They do so many of these now. Or Spain?
There's two possibilities.
Spain?
Two possibilities. Spain for Miami,
okay.
Or they could go to Brazil with the Chargers.
Right, right.
But that's game one of the season, right. Like that. I don't think they want to do game one. So
right.
I have to believe. I'm of the ilk that it's going to be Spain with the Dolphins. There's a growing opinion now that it might be Sao Paulo instead. But either one, I think I'm convincing my people that I'm there for a week. Because I got to be there for a week, right?
Attaboy, absolutely. I mean, you need all the Spanish cuisine that you can. And
A little vino,
perhaps, and a cigar, maybe a few golf
cigars.
Yeah, a few cigars.
Listen,
I appreciate you so much for making some time for us. Safe travels back, I will see you soon. Again, thank you, appreciate it. Great stuff, great work down there, and again, happy that you know things have now stabilized a little bit at Maryland. And to Kevin Willard, we say, don't let the door hit you in the ass, right?
Willard, amazing he can walk without a spine. Go Turks.
Thank you, Mr. Chick. Appreciate it. Great spot there. Mr. Chick Hernandez, WUSA9 Sports, WUSA9.com. And, of course, make sure you follow him on social media at Mr. Chick Sports. Funny, funny dude right there. Appreciate him making some time for us on both Maryland and all the NFL stuff. And he talked to a bunch of different coaches from everything that he just outlined. Appreciate him making some time for us. Mark and Largo will come up on the other side. Hang tight with us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Thank you, The Rock. Yeah, if you give me crap, if you start talking trash, I'm going to have to break out what The Rock said. I was just over there on the other side of the aisle talking to the boys from 106.7, and Toby Altizer has, you know, being that he's the youngest in charge, and being that he's now nearly an everyday host, and he's the host of a popular baseball podcast, and you know he's big time in everybody, and he's co-hosting and whatever, he has become a trash talker. He is just changed. AMAC, I mean, his ego is out of control. I'm serious. He used to be like this quiet, young, you know, very... goody two shoes. And now he's the voice of Virginia Tech. He's basically doing Grant and Danny every day because one of them is always sick. B. Mitch was out the last couple of days, so he did with JP. I mean, he's hosting overtime. He's Mr. National. He's at every Nationals game. He is a man amongst men. He is the youngest in charge, and he has got quite the attitude. I'm going to have to just knock him down a couple of pegs.
Yeah.
I mean, he's starting to make Linnell look like a saint. Let's get to Mark in Largo here before the bottom of the hour. What's up, Mark? How are you, pal?
Hey, what's up, Chris? How you been?
What's shaking, Mark?
How you been?
What's shaking? No, how are you?
Hey, look, man, I'm doing good. I got an idea of a guy who no one has talked about in the draft. They should stay at 29 and get. This one person mentioned him this past weekend, and I kind of agree with him. And I've been waiting for someone to say something. Mm-hmm. Landon Jackson from Arkansas. And the reason why
that
I like
dude,
Landon
that
Jackson,
dude's a beast.
When I look at him,
he's a beast.
He's a poor man's Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
I think he's a poor man's Aiden Hutchinson. You could stay at 29 and get him, because if you don't get him, Philly's going to get him. That's why I would stay at 29, get him. I would take him over everybody else in the draft. I'm sorry. Because when you get someone to 6'7", that could stop the run and he can get to the top. Because I think the easiest thing about pass rush, and I've come to see this in the last few years, Chris, and you tell me if you agree with me on this or not. Rushing the passer, when you're ahead in a big lead with the team that the offense, the Commanders have, that's going to be easy. It's stopping the run when you have to stop the run. That's the thing that I have a big issue with.
Mm-hmm.
If you can stop the run, that's great. I love Dexter Manley because Dexter Manley used to rush the pass. But the game plan against that team was you would run right at him because you couldn't run at Dave Butts. You wouldn't move Dave Butts. So if you ran at Dexter Manley, he was so easy to go up. If you got a guy who you can get that can stop the run, that could manhandle a left tackle, who if he's 6'5" or shorter, he's going to have problems with Jackson.
Right, because he's not only 6'7", but he's about 275, 280, right? So he's not going to get pushed around like a lot of these defensive ends get pushed around.
Thank you.
Now, he might not be a dominant pass rusher like Aiden Hutchinson or anything like that. But he is, I think he's a relentless motor guy, and I think he can stop the run, set the edge, and push the pocket with his length and his arms and his athleticism and his frame.
Not only that, Chris, you could probably move him all over the defense on passing downs. You could put him over the middle.
Yeah.
With someone that size over the middle and his framework, he could just move up and knows how to get around someone that's a guard or anything like that. You could stand him up on passing downs if you want and make him rush the pass and bring in another defensive end. Landon Jackson, and here's the funny part. I saw his highlight reel, and they were talking about at the combine. He said, there's two teams that were looking at me, the Buffalo Bills and the Washington Commanders.
Mm.
The Commanders were really talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're hearing rumors about them trading out, because they want to get him. But damn it, I would stay there and get him.
Good news is because he's not a dominant pass rusher like a Mike Green or some of the other edge prospects.
Right.
I think to your point, A, he would be there at 29, and B, probably there if you want to dump down to, 32, 33, 34, somewhere in that range. Now, of course, you're taking that chance.
Well, if you want to do, and you get up and you get an extra first round pick next year, or you, and you would get some more draft pick for this, and that's fine. If you want to take him at 33, 34, and get him, that's fine. You could pencil him in on day one. And with the defensive tackles that they got here, and let's keep it real, we all know why they loaded up on defensive tackles, because they want to phase out DeRon Payne.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris, let me ask you something, man, because no one is talking about this. This is the elephant in the room. I want you to answer this question. Everybody in Philadelphia on the day of the NFC title game who was broken down, couldn't play, they went out and they played. I found it strange how DeRon Payne said on Saturday night, I can't go, guys.
Yeah.
I just can't go. And I'm sitting up here saying, this is the biggest game of your career, bro. Yeah. You may not ever get this game again. Yeah. And you can't go? Don't you think that management and the coaching staff kind of look at him with the side eye like, I don't know, man. A lot of people are hurt right now, bro. I know you got the hand. I get it. And I know, Cosme, I get that injury too. That happened against Detroit. I understand.
Well, that's a torn ACL. You know, if Deron Payne had a torn ACL, nobody would question. The problem is he had two injuries, if I remember correctly, right? The hand, the wrist, whatever it was, with a thumb and the knee. And I don't know how legitimately hurt he was, but I will say this. For those that are already out on Deron Payne, it's not a great look, number one. And you have to kind of wonder, right, if they've already made up their mind. Like, they know cutting Jonathan Allen was here's how I would answer it. If you gave them truth serum, which we can't do, right, I guarantee you they would rather have cut Deron Payne as opposed to Jonathan Allen. As opposed to Jonathan Allen.
Definitely.
But Jonathan Allen was easy to cut. Deron Payne was not impossible, but much harder to cut. But again, missing that game, even though he was, I'm sure, hurt, they'll never say it publicly, but that does not engender like good feelings. And that's just human.
I was like, when I heard the announcement, I said, Deron, dog.
Yeah.
You got a new, come on, man.
I mean, listen, he might be traded before the deadline. How about that? I mean, you know, would it shock you?
You know what?
Would it shock you if he's traded before the deadline?
Would it shock you? Well, let me ask you this. Would it shock you if he gets traded on draft day? That weekend, maybe not on that Thursday and Friday.
I'd have to double check the cap hit because I think it would be pretty prohibitive. Mm-hmm. But deadline is to me, I think more. I have to double check all that. Give me a chance to do all that, and I'll try and get that done before 4 o'clock. Thanks, gotcha. Mark. Appreciate you. Good call. Let you run on that. We are way late for a trending alert. Why don't we do that right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we just talked to Mr. Chick Hernandez from WUSA 9. NFL owners approving some significant changes to rules. Kickoffs, touchback being moved up to the 35-yard line to get more kicks. Also, the first down markers will be now digitalized during all of the regular season. Chain gang will still remain as a backup to the digital technology on the screen. Also, what is that play? Gosh,
tush push.
I couldn't think of the word. I kept wanting to call it the tuck play. Gosh, the tush push tabled until May when it will be brought back up to the league owners. And the NFL owners also approved, as we discussed with Chick Hernandez, the Eagles' original proposal, which was guaranteeing each team a possession in overtime during the regular season. It previously was just during the playoffs. As we talked about earlier, Dan Quinn mentioning that indeed Brandon Coleman will be moving to the right side, presumably right tackle, although he would not get specific. And Buzz Williams is the new head coach at the University of Maryland, agreeing to a multi-year deal, believed to be six years in length, leaving Texas A&M, the former Virginia Tech, Marquette, and now Texas A&M head coach, replacing Kevin Willard. Press conference tomorrow at noon. Caps and Bruins, Alex Ovechkin chasing 895 tonight right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app at 6:45, and that's what's trending. All right, that said, Coach Dan Quinn talking about fine-tuning. Oh, that was Adam Peters. I'm sorry. I had my headsets off. It sounded like Dan Quinn. My bad. I apologize about that. That's terrible on my end. Sounded like Dan Quinn.
They're in lockstep.
They do sound sort of alike in some ways. My bad on that. Adam Peters. I was kind of half listening while I was texting something. All right. So again, the league meeting's now over. In case you missed it, the kickoff rule, touchbacks to the 35, so there'll be more returns. According to ESPN, the tush push, which I kept wanting to call the tuck rule during the trending alert, my bad. Again, it's not as easy to do this as people think it is. And AMAC bailed me out, as he always does. By the way, just want to send a public shout out. I told the boss, so I was I've done this privately, but AMAC has done. I mean, does a fantastic job every day, but on his game today, fantastic job. So kudos. Thank you. I couldn't do the show without you. The Packers, who, of course, brought up the proposal for the tush push to eliminate it, it got tabled until May. That doesn't mean that it's not going to be a part. But apparently, according to ESPN, they have the support, therefore a positive vote to eliminate the tush push, of 16 NFL teams currently, according to ESPN. The problem is you need 24. So they got work to do. The problem is, again, the Packers keep talking about pace of play and injuries, and there's no real injury data. The Packers should look into what exactly the problem is. As we discussed yesterday, it's that oftentimes the center and some of the offensive line up ahead of the football, the crown of the football, the nose of the football, which gives them an advantage. And if we're just going to allow pushing and shoving, well, okay, the way the formation is allowed to be lined up, along with that little bit of an edge, is why nobody can stop this damn thing. Or not nobody, but why it's so damn successful. Again, everything is wrong with the formation. Not with the pace of play. Not with that defenses can't stop it. Or injuries. It's everything is wrong with the formation. And we, oh, by the way, we don't really, I mean, like, when do you see, I mean, I guess you see it at times, like a wide receiver might make a catch or a tight end make a catch and he's dragging defenders and an offensive lineman comes up from behind and kind of pushes him forward. I almost think that's kind of like natural football, right? This is not natural football to have basically guys lined up in a semicircle and pushing and shoving from behind when the center and some of the offensive line are ahead of the nose and crown of the football. I don't get it. I don't get it, and yet nobody talks about it. I mean, they're all worried about health and safety, even though there's no data. I don't get it. The Eagles and the Bills called 65 of the 101 so-called tush push runs. The NFL changed the pushing ball carriers rule back in 2005. I knew it was 20-something. I thought it was 2004. Whatever. The Packers, according to Rich McKay, who's, you know, very much in charge, the committee chairman, said that they offered to change the focus on potentially reinstating that historic rule. So basically, the distinction, according to ESPN, is that it would ban players from pushing ball carriers down the field and thus eliminate the focus on the Eagles' play. So, you know, again, what we're kind of talking about here. So however they do this, I don't know. I just wish, right? Hey, Mac, you watch plenty of Eagles games. We all watch plenty of Eagles games. With, you know, we don't see every snap, every play, whatever. I mean, there are times. Am I wrong? Am I missing something? Like, when a center goes to snap the ball, the crown of his helmet is not always over and actually past the crown of the football.
It shouldn't be that way, no.
But I see that on a regular basis on close-up angles. Now, am I seeing directly down the line? So, You know how, like, they say on a first down marker, which is going to be digitally measured now, which is a good thing, the only good thing the NFL has done. But you know how they say, well, the first down line is not exact, and you know the camera angle down the goal line might not be exactly the angle that you need. Well, I mean, I guess it could be that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like whether it was Kelce or whether it was Cam Jurgens, that center, his helmet, the crown of his helmet, is over the crown of the football.
Yeah, most times.
100%. Which theoretically should be what?
Illegal. Neutral zone infraction.
Right.
Illegal. Shouldn't be allowed.
I mean, it's not technically a false start. It's a neutral zone infraction.
Mm-hmm.
And yet nobody seems to be bothered by that. So either I'm wrong and missing something, I don't know. The other thing, and maybe we'll get to more of this tomorrow, because we won't have, well, at least we don't think, we won't have the kind of breaking news that we had today between Coleman and all the NFL rules, and then, of course, the Buzz Williams situation, is the NFL has shortened the time of needed in the window to 21 days from 28 days to notify teams of a flex from Sunday to Thursday night. So apparently, on the Thursday night prime package, it was 28 days for the last couple of years. It's now 21 days. And apparently you can play only two Thursday night games. Only two. But you can play two. And I said this when they modified part of the rule late last year. The Commanders are, I would be willing to bet, are going to play two Thursday night games. And if they don't play two Thursday night games, they're going to play Thursday in Dallas, Thanksgiving Day, and a Thursday night game on top of that. Now, the only thing you hope for is the way they sometimes do it for the Cowboys is they play Thursday in Dallas for Thanksgiving, and then the next Thursday, they play the Thursday night game. So then you're on a normal week. So you play two Thursday games, but you only have one true, true super short week. I'll have more on that tomorrow. But that is all part of this, too. We didn't get to the Nationals. Not a great loss last night. Soroka got hurt. Go figure. Surprise, surprise. Doesn't look like it's major, but I'll believe that when I see it. Bicep cramp. But it doesn't look major. Bullpen shaky again. Back-to-back home run. C.J. Abrams, James Wood at Toronto tonight, 7:07. 106.7 The Fan. Caps Bruins tonight, 6:45, following Craig. John Walton, Ken Sabourin on the call in Boston. Alex Ovechkin at 8:90. Ryan Leonard's NHL debut. Lot going on in the sports world. Buzz Williams press conference at noon tomorrow. When we return, dum-dum of the day. Oh, baby. This is going to be a doozy. This is going to be a little bit of a doozy. A couple decided, we're going to get it on. We're going to get it on. But where? Might surprise you a little bit. On the T980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we wrap things up here on a Tuesday afternoon. You know how we do it. Before we turn things over to Craig, we say, Dateline, Australia's Gold Coast, baby. 1:30 in the afternoon, a couple getting it on in the Ian Dipple Lagoon, a very popular place for families and tourists. Yes, many families with young children. It looks like a very common beachy area that people can go and hang out and enjoy the water and, do all sorts of things. So, when a couple was found, again, creating some hanky-panky, the man got out of the water and started yelling at onlookers. One said, quote, He demanded we instantly hand him our phones or give payment for having watched his so-called performance. He continued to state, according to the complainant, that he doesn't perform for free and people pay him for what we just witnessed. They then turned the video evidence into the hotel and the police. And again, he reinforced that he doesn't perform for free. And also, ultimately, what happened was, the eyewitness shared, you know, like nobody got arrested out of this, which is amazing, right? And they shared the video and there's pictures and you can see it all. I don't need to get into graphic detail. Here's the bottom line. People, there were millions of places to have sex, to do things, to have fun. Just don't do it in a public spot. That's all there is to it. You don't have to be a dum-dum. But could you imagine? Oh, that guy's having hanky-panky, if they still call it that. He wants to charge me for it. He wants to confiscate my phones, saying he doesn't work for free. Get lost. All right. Craig Hoffman doesn't work for free either, although a very different situation. He's coming up next. Thanks so much to AMAC on the other side of the glass. Thanks to Mr. Chick. Thanks to you for being a part of the show and listening. Kevin Willard, again, out at Villanova. And Buzz Williams is the new head coach of the Maryland Terrapins. That's the big story today. We'll see you tomorrow at 1. Adios on the Team 980.